in your heart. And this morning, I'm talking to you on Jesus that said, we must pray, let your kingdom come. And I had a preacher one day said, if you pray, let your kingdom come, we are declaring war against the enemy. Because we say what we stand for. We say, God, we want to see your kingdom come in our world. What is kingdom? I think the best description I've heard about kingdom, kingdom is the culture of heaven. You know, each marriage have a culture. You know, each family has a culture. Each house has a culture. You know, every church has a culture. And if we say kingdom, if Jesus and John said, you know, talked about kingdom, they were talking about the culture of heaven. Now, what is heaven all about? The first thing that heaven is all about, it is about God. If God shows up, if God is in heaven, you know, of where God is, it is heaven. So heaven is all about God, and God sits on the throne. He doesn't fight for authority. He is authority. There's no elections in heaven. You know, wie gaan op die troon sit, die DA of you know, die vise naam of die woese naam? No. God is authority. God is supreme authority. You know, the God that we worship, the Bible says in Jeremiah, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows how everything is going to end. He knows how this day is going to end. He knows how your life is going to end, because he's working in your life. And you and I can thank him, because hell don't have enough to dethrone what God wants to do in your life. Grace can do more than what the devil can do. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. Grace can do more. The grace of God can do more in our lives as what sin and the devil, you know, can work destruction. And you and I must run with him, because this is a God that we worship. He knows the end from the beginning. The foundations of his throne is justice and righteousness, the word tells us. So the third character of the culture of heaven is that God rules by his word. You know what? He sits on the throne. And you know what? How does he rule? Is by the word that proceeds from his mouth. You know, when God says something in heaven, it happens. When he said in Genesis, let there be light, there was light. Light happened. You know, the darkness, the word said, had to give light. So this God is a God of, you know, authority. He rules by his word. And in heaven, his word carries absolute authority. In heaven, his throne is surrounded by angels that worship him. Worship in heaven is big. Okay? And so we need to practice, guys. As we come to church, you know, practice, you know, getting into his presence. Thank you, God, that you are here. Thank you that you are working in our midst. So it's big in heaven, and these angels who worship him, they become his messengers as his word directs them to minister, you know, to his sons and his daughters here on earth. Man, and angels, you know, they fascinate me. If you can throw up or throw the next slide on the screen, Psalms 103, verse 20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength." The word says angels excel in strength. And then it gives the secret. Why do they excel in strength? Because they do his word. And it says, and they heed the voice of his word. You know what? The more intimate you become with someone, okay, the closer you get to someone, guess what? What that person say becomes very important to you. You know, I love my wife to nuts, man. Yes, like, man, hierdie girl maak nog my knie lam. You know, but what she says to me is important. Because by what she is saying to me, I can find out who she is. You know, after a marriage of how many years? 37 years, you know, I know what she likes and I know what she dislikes. You know, when I need to buy her a present, you know, this is again marriage 101, then you just ask her, "Lovey, what would you like for your birthday? You know, give me a list of 1 to 10, you know." And then, you know, that's a wise husband. And then when you buy it, she would tell you, "How did you know I wanted it?" that's a wise woman. Guys, the word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, that word in the Greek is theopneustos. It is actually, it was God breathed. You know what? And it carries the life of God. And when we read it, you know, and when we meditate on it, it comes alive. And then we start, God reveals himself to us in his word. And that's why Bible school is, man, I can just encourage you, do Bible school. You know, do Bible school. Get the word of God in you. You know, it is so important. So the angels, they react on God's word. Man, Kobus, I was thinking maybe I must do another book on this thing of angels. But, you know, they excel in strength. Why? Because they do the word and they heed the voice of his word. So guys, we, you know, it is so difficult to access the kingdom and to experience kingdom without a kingdom mindset. You know what? Jesus came to earth. He came from heaven down to earth. We know the story. You know, Philippians 2 said he humiliated himself. He emptied himself. When he was on earth, he became, you know, a servant. He became a slave. He was obedient unto death. He followed God's instructions. He knew God's plan for him was to die on the cross. And he said yes for God's will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed 3 times. Not my will, but your will. And guys, as we prayed this morning and we say we want to do business with God, we said, "God, not my will, but your will. Let your will happen in my life." So both John and Jesus, you know, they preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And what was Jesus saying? You know, Jesus coming from heaven, coming from the Father, coming from the culture of heaven, you know how life is in heaven. Any guys here, anyone coming from a different country, Malawi, India, Nepal, all South Africans? You came from? Zambia. Okay, life is a little bit different there. Very, very. And you come from? India.
It's
Anton.
Rolf.
Rolf. Hallelujah. So we're coming from another country, you know, the culture is different and you have to adapt to the new culture. And Jesus is saying, I'm preparing you for heaven. And you know what? When your pastor is being released next Sunday, he's going to talk to you about life, living intentionally for eternity. You know, we don't live for here and now. We are preparing ourselves for kingdom living. And kingdom living, you know, is not one day, it is now. Because Jesus said, repent, the kingdom is here. It has come in my person. So repentance, if you can throw up that slide, repentance is the way to obtain a soft heart. And how do you get a soft heart? By grieving over sin. That's one of the ways. Just telling me, I'm so sorry. You know what? When me and the lady got married, you know, 37 years ago, and so mom said, I've got a few words of raad. What's raad now here? Advice for you. You know, and what was that few words of advice? I know the one. The one said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, and you know, if we can say that to one another, you know, say, I'm so sorry. I remember one guy, you know, he's saying, he's going to his wife, he said, ach liefie, ek is alweer verkeerd. Okay, but you know, repentance is a way to obtain a soft heart by grieving over sin. You know, repentance is to continually upgrade your mind and thought patterns to align with the will and the mind and the purpose of God. You know, so it is so important that we upgrade our thinking. You know, I think our problem is we think like caterpillars. Romans 12, it talks about transformation. You know, that word, that Greek word, metamorphomai. Metamorphosis. Ever heard about that word? But you know, that's the process that the caterpillar becomes a butterfly. You know, and that's what God wants to work in us. He wants to upgrade us from caterpillar thinking. And he wants to upgrade us so that we can think like butterflies and fly like butterflies and be free like butterflies. If you believe a lie, you know, the lie will keep you captive. But if you come to Bible school and you sit at Bible school and you sit under a teacher speaking to you the word of God, you know, it says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You know, it is so scary to think that the only power that the enemy has over us is lies. That's the only power he has over us. But you know what? Once we believe that lie, like Adam and Eve, you know what? The rest is history. You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Okay, so the condition of our hearts is so, so important. The condition of our hearts will determine how far we can go in our relationship with Him. I said here, the heavenly potter work best with soft clay. Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. The heavenly potter can do so much with soft clay. Seed germinates best in soil that is soaked and well prepared. You know what? Our hearts determine how much we will experience what God wants to do in our lives. Guys, I need to make a landing here, and a fast landing. Oh man, hallelujah, God is good. Amen, amen. Let me go down here in this road. You know, in 1 Kings 11, Jeroboam stumbled over a prophet. Jeroboam, you know, he was the guy, you know, when Israel was divided in two kingdoms. So Jeroboam became the king of the northern 10 tribes. And in the southern part, Judah and Benjamin, you know, Rehoboam was the king. So what happened? This Jeroboam, you know, he stumbled on the prophet Ahia. And this prophet was wearing a grand new cloak. And he took the cloak and he tore it into 12 pieces. And he said, you know, to Jeroboam, take 10 pieces for yourself. And this scripture, it says, 1 Kings 11, he said, and I will place you on the throne of Israel, and you will rule over all that your heart desires. If you listen to what I tell you, listen and follow, that's the second word, follow my ways, and do, that's the third word, whatever I consider to be right. And if you obey, fourth word, my decrees and commands, as my servant David did, then I will always be with you. So God gave this man a prophetic word. And the prophet told him, listen, follow, do, obey, and I will always be with you. He says, I will establish an enduring dynasty for you, as I did for David. So God gave this man this wonderful promises. He said, just do my word. Just obey my word. Just follow my instructions. Do what my heart is for you, and I will be with you. What is the one thing that we need above else? Is his presence. It's God, you are with me. If you are with me, it is more than enough. But this man, you know what? There was a little problem for him. Because God tells in his word that three times a year, all the male people, they needed to show themselves before God in the temple. And the temple was in the southern kingdom. It was in Jerusalem. And the word says, Jeroboam thought to himself. He thought to himself. And he thought the people, when they go there to worship, when they go there, you know, to sacrifice to the living God, you know what? They will start to like this other king, and they will turn against me, and they will kill me. So what is happening here? Can you sense the fear creeping in? Man, this guy, he is becoming afraid. And you know what? And that words, he thought to himself, it is like he was making his own plans. How am I going to cope with this fear? It doesn't say he sought the Lord. It says he was, you know, he was making his own plan. And his plan or solution was to build two golden calves. You know what? And, you know, he built two golden calves, the one in Dan, the other one in Beersheba. And he told the people, you don't need to take the trouble to go every year to Jerusalem. You can worship God here. And the Bible talks about it, if you read it, the sin of Jeroboam, because he adulterated the true worship of the living God. Now, what is golden calf worship? Is it, what did it have with me to do? You know, the heart of golden calf worship is to make it easier for the people. The heart of golden calf worship is shortcuts. The heart of golden calf worship is compromise. And guys, compromise always leads to deception. Jesus said, you know, that the people, that the church in the last days will be deceived. The one thing that will reign in the church will be deception. Why? Because of compromise. The fastest way to end up in deception is to allow compromise in your life. You know what? Golden calf worship is when men create a God for himself the way he likes this God to be. You know what? How I like him, that's how I create him. And then this God that I created, I bow down and I worship him. You know, and that's, church, that's our challenge in the time that we are living in. You know, is that, you know, the world tells us there's a certain way to worship God. You know, there's people that say, you must just accept and you must condone what I'm doing, otherwise you don't love me. No. We run with God. We run with his word. And do we say, God, it's me that needs to change. Change my heart, God. Change my life. Jeroboam, you know what, he brought in these two golden calves, and when we read the end of the story, he lost everything. He lost his wife, he lost his children, he lost the kingdom, he lost everything. God gave him that wonderful promises, but because of fear and because of compromise, you know what, he lost all that God had planned for him. Amen. Can we stand and pray together?